You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Great Pets Radio Show. Now, here's Brian and Dr. Jim.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Great Pets Radio. This is Dr. Jim McKiernan. And guess what, everybody? It's springtime. We are joined today. Brian is on assignment, as I like to say. I think he's down in Florida doing his thing. It's not warm enough for him up here. But we got a good show today. We're going to be talking about a number of different items and that's in the news, as well as, you know, one of the things we like to do, even though we're kind of a local station and we get calls from Ontario or Texas, is I like to keep it local. So I like to keep the information, the news that we have in the state of New Hampshire here so that it means something to you. So it's like, you know, not necessarily reading the Boston Globe, but you like reading the local paper for that reason. And there was just a bill that went through that was presented to the legislature branch of New Hampshire, and about breeding of dogs and also about something called tethering of dogs. And it was turned down. So we're going to hear from a person this morning who's going to talk to us, who she's rather passionate about her feelings about why this bill should have passed. At the same time, I try to get individuals both from the state and others to come on the show to talk about their feeling as to why it didn't pass. But, you know, it's a very interesting bill, and we'll be going into that. But anyways, so it is springtime, and I am proud to be joined by one of my favorite people, Ann Nichols from Canine Chaos. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Great. It's beautiful out.
Oh, my gosh. We've made it.
Yes.
I feel like a flower that's blossomed. So it's springtime. Springtime for pets. Springtime for you. What do we do different in the springtime? You know, we're going to leave our lines open so you can call us this morning. The number is 1-888-441-9876. If you have medical questions, I'm here for you. If you have behavioral questions, I'm here for you. But also, Ian is pretty good at that, but this is a tough seat to fill with Brian on his traveling route.
Yeah, I don't want to try that.
No. You know, I don't either. Although his wife comes on, she does a marvelous job.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So some of the things we're going to start talking about is springtime. And, you know, a lot of times folks come into the exam room with their dogs, and one of the things that inevitably a lot of people look at me and say is winter weight. It's the winter weight. And I agree, because, you know, a lot of us aren't as active.
True. Right?
I mean, we're not out there running. I mean, I enjoy running much more in this kind of weather than I would if it was 12 degrees in a, you know, icy road.
Yeah.
But, you know, is it winter weight?
No.
Are we feeding too much?
Yes.
So those are the things that we can talk about. But one of the things that you can do for your dog, and you can do it year-round, but I'm sure your business, part of what you do at Canine Chaos is doggy daycare.
Correct.
And something tells me that more people probably bring their dog to you now than they do in the winter, or not?
It's actually the opposite.
Is that right?
Yep. Winter, spring, and fall are my busiest. Summer is the slowest.
Huh.
But if you think about it, it does make sense. The kids are home from school, so they get to hang out with the dog all day.
Well, you
in
would
the
think.
Summertime.
But you would think if there's a lot of activities going on too, that they would need a place for the dog to go, like instead of being kind of shuttled around in the car.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you get like the family trip, you know, drop off type thing. You know, going to Water World or whatever for the day, and they'll bring the dog. But it does slow down a little bit in the summer when the kids are home.
So, you know, we have you on occasion for a reason. It's because you know, one of the things that I say about Ann is that she's in it for the right reasons. She does it right. And if you get to meet her in Newington, you'll understand why. But one of the things that I want to talk a little bit about doggy daycare, because it's a staple of what you do.
Correct. Yep.
And you kind of have it down at this point.
Like, I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, the mistakes have already been made way back.
Yep.
and you just don't take a bunch of dogs and throw them together.
No, can't do that. In my facility, you can't do that. I know that others might subscribe to that kind of method, but at Canine Chaos, we keep everyone separate. Small groups, we usually have four groups going every day. So, which means if you have the small puppy, 8 or 9 week to 10 week old puppy, you can be guaranteed that they're not going to be in with adult dogs and adult labs, not labs, but you know what I mean, larger dogs. So the small dogs and the toys are kept separate. The big dogs are kept together. We usually have groups set up. You know, every day is different. We might have a group, bunch of young adults that love to wrestle and run and play, and their play styles are all similar, so they're together. We might have a bunch of herders. We might have a bunch of runners. Everything is a little bit different, and we try to keep them together.
And, you know, I mean, I guess the question that a lot of people have is, you know, do the dogs enjoy it? Is it really something, or I guess not all of them are going to, right?
Right, not all dogs enjoy it.
But for the most part, a majority do.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about bad habits? Do they ever develop bad habits, or do you have people? Because, you know, it's kind of like, I want to say bad habits, but I mean, when you put a group of dogs together, they're going to start getting into pack mentalities.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get into pack mentalities, you're going to have aggressive behavior. You're going to have dogs who are maybe not aggressive being picked on.
Oh, yeah.
And do you monitor that? So
yeah.
That
we do get bad behaviors. It's really interesting. And over the last 6 years, it's been really cool to sort of watch that happen. Those are the things that you don't anticipate. But the dogs that have been coming for a really long time, they develop those strong, strong pack behaviors. We actually have a daycare pack leader.
Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to break. We come back, we're going to have Gene Slippy on with us talking about that bill that didn't pass. But I want to go over with people some of those behaviors that people can look at with their own dogs as they're walking in the park. This is Dr. Jim at Great Pets Radio. We'll be back.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Great Pets Radio. This is Dr. Jim McKiernan, proudly joined by Ann Nichols from Canine Chaos in Newington, New Hampshire. And
WTSN.
We started off the show, WTSN. We started off the show talking about a bill that did not pass in the state of New Hampshire. And we're going to go into a little bit of that. And on the line, we have Gene Slippian. Gene, good morning.
Good morning.
Did I pronounce it correctly? Slippian? Slippian?
Slippian.
Slippian, great.
Right.
Well, thanks for calling in this morning.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people, I don't want to spend, a tremendous amount of time going over all of the particulars with the bill, because that would put people to sleep on this Sunday morning. But in general, I do want to talk to you about the bill, because it was something that you put a lot of effort into it. I mean, bottom line, right?
Yes.
So there were two parts to the bill that didn't pass, correct?
Right. Well, there were two separate bills, right?
And one had to do with breeding.
That's right.
And the second bill was
tethering.
Tethering.
Right.
And did either one of those bills pass?
No.
Okay. So they did not.
Right.
And well, let's talk about the breeding component of it, because obviously you have strong feelings, and there's enough sentiment around now where obviously if it's going in front of the legislator, there's a problem. We can all identify it.
Right.
All right. Well, maybe there's all this common ground so far, right, Jean?
Right.
And it didn't. It didn't fly.
Right.
Can you tell us? Can you give us a synopsis, cliff notes on the breeding bill a little bit for people?
Right. The breeding bill would have set certain standards for people who possess more than 10 intact dogs for the purposes of selling their offspring. So it would not have applied to very small breeders. It was more the larger breeders. And it would have set certain humane standards like no surgical procedures without a veterinarian, that is, no debarking or tail docking or ear cropping without a veterinarian. And it would have set...
Well, Jean, now the reason for that is, are people doing it on their own?
Yes.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Right. We had people testify at the hearing who were doing tail docking and debarking on their own. That is, they testified against the bill. But it also set certain standards for caging and sanitation. So it was basically conformed to some of the other puppy mill bills that have been passing in other states like Pennsylvania and Washington State.
Well, so have similar bills like this passed in other states?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is it not safe to say that this particular bill that did not pass in New Hampshire went beyond what they were doing in Pennsylvania?
I don't think it went beyond. I think it was probably less severe than the bill in Pennsylvania.
Wow, okay. All right.
But Pennsylvania is a very, very bad puppy mill state. They have a much more serious problem there than we have here.
Do you think we have a problem with that here?
I think we have a problem with the smaller backyard breeders and not so much the larger puppy mills.
And what do you think the problem is, Jean? Is it the problem that just the inhumane standards of which the dogs are kept?
Well, there really are no standards. And there's no control over the smaller breeders at all. And so what we end up with is situations that eventually turn into cruelty cases where large numbers of dogs are eventually confiscated because of this situation, and then they end up at shelters all over the state, which puts a large burden on the shelters.
So what's your plan for the future on this? Is this something that we will be brought up again? I mean, you know how these bills work. I mean, you try to, it's like you want to solve a court case before you even get into court. You want to have a conversation with people to say, okay, you know, it's like the health care bill with Obama. What do you guys want?
Uh-huh.
What can we give? Do you see us as a statewide entity passing something in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think the members of the committee that heard this bill, it was heard before the Environment and Agriculture Committee, they did recognize that there's a problem. They did not think that our bill was the proper way to solve the problem, but they did recognize that there was a problem, and in fact the committee chairperson made a commitment to continue to study this issue to see how we might be able to resolve it. So I am confident that we will see some effort to resolve the problem, possibly in 2011, but most definitely in 2012.
So it's going to have to be a slow process, and it's going to have to be a process that is going to be not all-inclusive.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have to pick and choose what are the most, and when I say you, I don't mean you in particular, but I mean as a group.
Right.
You're going to have to say, okay, what's the most important, and what is the most, out of all that breeding bill, if you could have, let's say, two things, what would you have really wanted?
I would say the provisions about sanitation and the provisions about caging.
Okay. Now, from my understanding, from the discussions I've had with people who were somewhat involved, was that the difficult part of that is going to be enforcement. So
right.
How, and I'm sure they mentioned that because you're talking about, well, they're going to say, geez, Jean, I mean, you know, we don't have the manpower of somebody
right.
to go out to, you know, this place in New Hampshire and start looking, snooping in somebody's backyard. But how is Pennsylvania doing that? How are other states who have passed these similar laws provided personnel to pay for, you know, to do that?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I think possibly they're more motivated to enforce it because the problem is so much larger.
But
in states like Pennsylvania,
is it enforceable though? You know what I mean? I mean, I go back to Massachusetts is great for this, where they'll pass a law, and then there's no consequences sometimes.
Right.
You know?
I think right now the only state inspectable facilities are shelters. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
As far as I know, the only state inspected facilities are shelters. Is that right?
Shelters, pets, rescue groups, and the commercial breeders.
The pet stores they go into.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Which are, yeah, they're the That's defined as they're producing more than 10 litters or 50 puppies a year. But the smaller ones are not inspected at all.
And that's a problem.
Right.
Yeah. You know, in fairness, Jean, I did ask a couple of different people who were in opposition who do want to come on but just couldn't come on today.
Uh-huh.
But I want to keep talking about this, and I want to keep talking about it as we go in the future because it's going to affect, it affects all of us. And a lot of this people, you know, for those people who just live in the burbs or just have the dog and go to work each day and come back home, they're not seeing this.
Right.
You know, they're not seeing some of the issues that could be addressed.
Right.
So it doesn't sound like you're done anytime soon.
No. No, sometimes it takes a lot of time. It took us 6 years to make changes, to make some very small changes in the requirements for shelter for outdoor dogs. And that just happened in 2008. So these things sometimes take a long, long, long time. But we won't give up because the dogs are depending on us.
And you have some support, right? There are obviously
some
legislators in the state, some representatives who are backing your passion here.
Well, we had, in support, testifying in support of the bill, we had more people who signed in support of the bill than who signed in opposed to the bill.
All right. James, we're going to go to break.
Sure.
Can you hold on and come back with us?
Yeah, sure.
All right. This is Dr. Jim from the Great Bay Animal Hospital with Ian Nichols on Great Pets Radio. Our number is 1-888-441-9876. We'll be back after this break.
Hi, and welcome to The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Colleen Safford. Each week, we'll focus on different topics: child pet safety, child pet training, just how to make an appropriate pet selection for your family. All of these things will be covered in each one of our episodes. So we hope that you will join us at The Family Pet on Pet Life Radio.
Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Great Pets Radio. Dr. Jim McKiernan with Ann Nichols this morning, and it's spring.
Yay!
Yippee! Springtime. We are talking with Jean Sleepian, who worked very hard at trying to get a bill passed in the state of New Hampshire on breeding of dogs as well as tethering. Jean, is there a website of some type so that people who are listening could say, you know what, I want to read about it on my own?
They can go to my website, and that's www.give-us-shelter.com.
Give-us-shelter.com. Give-us-a-shelter.com?
Just give-us-shelter.
Okay.
Give us shelter.
All right.
Right.com.
And information on the bill is there so that people can read about it. And
right.
If they have strong feelings towards it, they can contact their legislative people and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
Okay. So that's the breeding part of it. Talk to us a little bit about tethering. And you know, what is tethering, Jean?
Tethering is basically tying an animal, in this case it would have been a dog, to a stationary object. And currently...
It drives them crazy, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you want to create some anxiety, especially with stuff going by them. I mean, it just drives the dogs nuts.
Yeah.
Well, we've had some very, very, very sad cases, and this bill was actually inspired by a case of a little dog in, I think it was Pittsfield, that the animal control officer over there was trying desperately to help this little puppy and her mother, who were chained outside, you know, lots of junk propane cans and all kinds of other garbage around, and the puppy eventually got tangled in her chain and hanged herself. Her name was Gizmo, and that's why she kind of inspired us to do this bill and to try to add a tethering provision to our animal cruelty law.
Now, question. Tethering bills been passed in other states?
Oh, yes. In many, many, many states and municipalities and towns all throughout. Texas has a very strong anti-tethering bill. Now, actually, the city of Nashua has a tethering ordinance.
So, now that's interesting what you just mentioned there. Is now suddenly we've taken away from the state level and you brought it down to a local level.
Right.
So there are certain towns that can say you cannot tether your dog, or do they say you cannot do it for a period of time?
Right. They have certain restrictions on. I don't know of any that say you can't tether your dog at all, but they have certain restrictions as to the time, length of time, and also usually certain restrictions as to the actual type of tether. I mean, you can't. Most places prohibit, you know, tethering with a choke collar and.
Right. You know, some dogs, you know, let's be honest. I mean, if you get a Siberian Husky or some of these northern breeds, that's good living. I mean, they just want to sit outside and...
Right.
And honestly, you should have them... those are the kind of dogs like Beagles where if they get off, they just want to... They're going to run.
Yeah, see you later.
Right, so... Did the tethering bill have a time limit or something to it?
Yes, it had a time limit.
Okay, and what was the time limit?
14 hours. 14 hours cumulative per day.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair amount of time. What was the feedback you got on that bill, Jean? Why didn't people like that? Did they give you feedback, or they just look at you and say, "No, we don't do it." Boom, we move on.
People just don't want to be restricted.
Is it a New Hampshire thing? Or is it hard to say?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
I think, you know, people will object to whether they tether their dogs or not. I think there's people who will just object because they just don't want anyone to tell them how to deal with their dogs. And again, it's a situation where if a person is treating their dog properly, whether the dog is outside or inside, if a dog is cared for properly, a person has nothing to be concerned about with a law like this. It's really to deal with the cases where there's real true abuse, like the case of Gizmo that I just mentioned.
Sure, which is very sad, too.
Yes.
You know, but again, my take on all of this from the opponent's level would be, we just don't have the manpower to enforce this. We just don't have, you know, I mean, are we going to raise taxes? How are we going to get people out there to, you know, are the animal control people supposed to go out?
Right, but I think tethering, that's, you know, my neighbor leaves his dog tied out 24 hours a day. I'm calling animal control, that type of a situation. I don't think that's like a...
And your neighbor's doing that right now? Let's hope they're not listening. Suddenly the guy's in his backyard undoing the tether quickly.
I know.
So, you know, what's interesting is that it can be done on a local level, and I think that's where that's where things start, you know?
I was actually surprised. I thought the tethering bill was quite good.
We certainly would have been willing to compromise on some of the particulars, but that was not even an option. But I do think that this had something to do with there was a general and pervasive nastiness in the legislature this year, and I think that had possibly a reflection of what is happening at the national level. But I think that had something to do.
Well, nastiness from who, Jean? From the legislative people?
From the legislators, right?
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about? I mean, do they not want they feel like they are wasting their time? Do they had strong feelings to the contrary?
Well. We had one legislator, the tethering bill went before the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee because it would amend the cruelty law, which is a part of the criminal code. And we had one legislator who said to us, "What are you doing in this committee? What are you doing here?" And so there was a general... we had for the breeding bill, we had one legislator who sent... nasty notes to everyone who testified in favor of the bill because he assumed that they were all pro-choice. And so he said...
That's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a little different.
Oh. Well, it seems to me like, you know, I'd love to hear from some of the people who were opposed to it. And I think down the road, if you listen to the show, you can... I think you're over in Keene, aren't you, Jean?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the show, tune in, and we'll try to have some people on the other side. I think that there's a lot of middle ground here,
right,
that can be achieved, and I hope that I hope that can be done in the future. That's all.
Well, I hope so. And this fall, every New Hampshire legislator is up for re-election, so hopefully we'll see some new friendly faces out there.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for your time calling in this morning, and onward and upward, and have a good day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye.
So, you know, this is, you know, you're probably saying, Jim, how'd you get in touch with this? She is a lady who just has worked tirelessly, you know, for right or wrong on this particular bill. And, you know, and for good reason, it didn't pass. It was just very, 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 it had so much stuff to it.
The breeding part of it, the breeding bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, that I think that, and we had talked about this bill months ago, and I actually said, and Brian said, you know, you just kind of tether it down a little bit.
Tether,
yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can, you know, come to some type of agreement that makes sense for people.
Yeah. Yeah, and because the thing about the tethering bill, too, to get jump to that, it's not actually saying that your dog can't be an outdoor dog.
Right.
It's just saying it can't be tied, which is, like you were saying, makes them absolutely crazy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I can think of some cases where, you know, people dangling their little baby in their arms up to a tethered dog that's been tethered its whole life and grabs, you know, it's just crazy,
you know,
some of the things that happen.
You know, I met Brian about 15, 16 years ago at Tufts, and I actually worked with him in New York City. We went to Canada together, and, you know, I kind of mentor a situation. So after a while, I started doing training way back then on my own, and I still do it somewhat today. But what I found when I went out is that, you know, I got a lot of aggression cases. And after a while, I just was kind of tired of all these angry dogs, even though I knew how to change them.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it, but it was just a bit tiring. But a lot of the aggression cases came from these dogs who were tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just sitting there. The stake was in the ground. They had a 25-foot chain or, you know, something, a rope. And it just created anxiety.
Yeah. Imagine the frustration. I mean...
Well, it's like the old cartoon where the dog's, you know, the chicken and the, you know, the chicken hawk there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The dog would chase him and get to the end.
Yeah.
And then you talk about stuff going by, like stuff on the roads, and they can't get it. All it does is create anxiety. So, you know, I have never chained up my dog. But I will say, those people who own northern breeds, nothing makes those dogs happier to sit on that snowbank and hang out for the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yep.
You're listening to Great Pets Radio. Our number this morning is 1-888-441-9876. And we'll be back after this break.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Hello, I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. My pet experts will be coming to the party to answer your pet questions, and they'll also be sharing their favorite stories and messages with us, but I'll be asking them some tough questions. We'll get their opinions on the hot-button topics like the pit bull ban, pet food, vaccines, religion, politics, and animals, cat decline, and the latest news. Whatever's turning the animal world on its head, we'll be talking about at the animal party. This party's got bite.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Great Pets Radio. This is Dr. Jim with Ann Nichols. And we are live. Our number this morning is 1-888-441-9876. So if you have questions, you can call. It's nice to hear, you know, right or wrong on these people who call in the show and give their opinions. It's just nice to hear people. I like debate to me is a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't personalize it.
Yeah.
I look at them and saying, okay, are they a bad person because they feel that way? Not necessarily, but I may not agree with their views.
Right.
And that's the way you have to look at this kind of stuff. Anyways, we were talking before before Gene came on about winter weight. And I guess it does exist to some degree in some dogs.
I think I suffer from winter weight.
You do?
Year round.
You're not measuring the food, the cup you're using. Yeah, that's the problem.
I know.
But it does exist. And, you know, a lot of that does come down to, similar to us, is how much we feed. You know, it's amazing when the people do one thing, and that is measure what they're feeding.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we talk about a cup.
I have made people bring the cup in.
Yeah.
And they, you know, is it a cup? Yep, it's a cup. And they come in, and it's a...
Yeah, they come in with
it's
like
a 16, 32-ounce, you know, yeah, coffee cup.
Or what you would get at the movie theater.
Yeah, the big gulp.
The largest, like another 30 cents. Yeah, exactly.
You must get this all the time. I get it all the time. My dog won't eat. He's not eating. He hasn't eaten. He keeps missing meals. The dog is not hungry, and trying to get people to believe that, because they're so overfed that they're just not hungry. Dogs won't starve themselves to death.
No, I know. And you know, the other thing that gets me sometimes is folks who leave the food down all the time.
Mm.
Now, there are those dogs, and albeit not a lot, but there are some who can self-regulate, where they'll come in, it's a lab, a nice 68 pounds, and they said, yeah, we leave food down all the time. But boy, they're rare.
Yeah.
For the most part, you're looking at an obese dog. You're looking at a dog who can develop aggressive tendencies. Because remember, if the food bowl's down all the time, they're in charge. And that's just like giving somebody the account temp card to be the CEO for the day.
Yep.
They're on their way up. And the other thing is, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy for their joints. It's not healthy for their, you know, there's diabetes, there's liver implications. So... I don't know.
There's a lot. And the other thing, too, is if they have the one dog that self-regulates, and then they go and get the puppy, and
they think one dog's like all the rest.
Exactly, right. And it's not. And then you end up with one giant dog who's eating all the food, and it's just not healthy.
No, it's not. But I don't know. I think the thing to do is keep an eye on the amount you're feeding, number one. Number two, this is the time to exercise your dog. If you don't have time in the spring to take your dog for a run, and it's amazing how exercise, I say this probably once a month on this show, it solves so many problems.
Yeah. Anxiety is a big problem in dogs, and that helps to relieve all that.
Oh, it does. I mean, if you have a, you know, a dog that's, you know, being destructive at home or ripping up furniture or chewing things that shouldn't, it's amazing what that 3 or 4 mile run will do to the dog. Dog gets home like, hey, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to lay out. You know, somebody, I shouldn't say somebody, Brian once said, you can have a Great Dane in Manhattan, you know, in a studio apartment, as long as you exercise them.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of a stretch to say that, but the point is, with exercise, boy, a lot of problems are solved.
Absolutely.
Each week, we have one of my favorite people, Karen Fogarty, call in from Kachiko, and what we'd like to do is talk about a particular pet that has tickled her fancy, that we kind of like to find a home for. So I think we have Karen on the line with us from Kachiko. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Very good. It's gorgeous out.
Oh, my gosh. We have Ann Nichols today. Say hi to Ann.
I will. Hi, Karen.
Hey,
how's it going?
Karen, what do you got today for us?
I have a wonderful little Labrador Beagle mix. named Dan, and he's great. He's good with kids, cats, dogs. He's a pretty happy little guy.
So he'd be illegal.
I guess so.
And good with kids?
Good with kids.
And how old?
He's around a year, year and a half.
Perfect.
He's mid-sized, about 45 pounds, so he's a nice, compact little guy.
And what's his name?
Dan.
Mm-hmm. Dan is ready to go. You know, I got to tell you, it's two of my favorite breeds.
It's an interesting mix.
Yeah, I love beagles and I love labs. I mean, they're just fun, you know?
Yeah.
Except for the But what are your hours today, Karen?
We're here till 4 today.
Okay. And the phone number?
He is on the website. It's 749-5322.
All right. So it's Karen Fogarty from Kachiko. Go up, take a look at a dog named Dan.
Fantastic.
He's ready to go. Any cats? If people are interested in cats?
We have cats and kittens again, actually. So we've got some great...
Oh, you have kittens?
Variety.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we've got some orange kittens today.
Oh, my gosh. They don't last long.
They're very cute.
When we have kittens at the animal hospital, we'll have a litter that we're helping out and getting rid of. People will call up, and they always want the orange one.
I don't know why.
Everybody wants the orange kitty. Yeah. Well, listen, enjoy the day. I feel like Dan's going to go because he's a beagle lab mix. And
I hope so.
A legal eagle.
A legal eagle. Legal beagle. All right, Karen, enjoy the day.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Bye.
So that's a, you know, we've done such a good job with that program where people have gone up and they find dogs. And I got to tell you, the other thing is that she just doesn't pick any random dog. She'll go through and she will kind of cherry pick the dog she feels would get a good home.
Oh, that's good.
So all sorts of stories, because I see her during the week on occasion, and she'll say, oh, my gosh, we had four people show up at the same time. So, you know, but it's first come. So whoever goes up there says, Dan, you got it.
That's great.
You know, so we were talking about weight loss, and the other thing I want to talk about is grooming, because you do grooming. And grooming is something that we would look at as kind of a luxury for a dog.
For some dogs it is, yeah.
But is it? Sometimes some breeds of dogs really require it, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of breeds require it. But, you know, if you're going to have your greyhound groom, that's kind of a luxury because they don't really have that, you know, deep, heavy coat.
Well, that would be more of a bath, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be more of a bath. But, you know, they still get the full spa treatment. But, you know, these lot of Labradoodles now, because that's a real hot breed. And they...
How often are they getting done?
They need to get done every 5 or 6 weeks. You know, if they're not done very often, what tends to happen is the undercoat mats so tightly to their skin, it's very uncomfortable.
Well, I could give you my take on it, but in this, and when dogs go to the groomers and they come out, I mean, any of us can wash their dogs at home.
Yes.
Right? You bathe them up, towel them down, send them off.
Absolutely.
But when they go to the groomers, they come out, boy, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I bet they feel better.
They feel so much better. Some of the dogs are just giddy because, you know, especially the ones that aren't in great condition. A lot of times people brush their dogs every day, brush, 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 but it's just on the top coat, and they don't have the tools to get down deep to the skin, which is where all the matting sits. Oftentimes owners don't even know their dogs are matted.
Well, here's the other thing. Well, yeah, the other thing is I'm sure you're biased towards your groomers, right?
Of course. I'm a wonderful groomer.
But don't you think that some groomers are better than others?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all about the time they take with the animal. Some of the dogs are so stressed, you know.
Right.
And you want a groomer that's going to get down on the floor with that dog and, you know, calm it down and make sure the dog is okay. Sometimes the stress... And dogs take a little bit longer because it's, you know, let's do a little bit of work and then we're going to give it a break.
But they look great afterwards.
They look beautiful, yeah. But you really want a nice, calm environment, a groomer that's not rushing to get through every dog because it's important. You want the dog to come back and be happy.
And it's not expensive.
It's really not.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can typically fit in the budget. The only problem I have with it, Ann, is... Those people who do routine groomings, and or you know what? Let me back up. It's the groomer themselves. A lot of them are just yanking that fur out of the ears just because they think they're supposed to. And I just have such a problem with that. And it's documented. And I ask people, I said, please ask your groomer to stop doing that. Because some dogs come in and their ears are all red and swollen. And I said, what happened? And they said, well, the groomer pulled the hair out. And I personally feel it's not necessary. You know, I think if you need to medicate the ears, then that's one thing because it's hard to medicate the ears when there's, you know, the tundra in there.
Right. So educate me. If you have a, a dog that's chronic ear infection.
That would be a candidate to have its ears done.
Okay.
But I think if you just had a dog, if you looked at it and you said, oh, dog's got hair in its ears, I need to pull it out.
Right.
The hair doesn't cause problems. A lot of times people will think yeast infections. They'll say, oh, the dog went swimming and got a yeast infection. Yeah, not really. The dog usually has allergies to something. The dog will develop an infection because his hair in the ears. So I kind of feel like leave them alone unless they're going to get ear infections, and then we can pull them. Because they come in, they look, I'm like, oh my God, the poor dog's got big throbbing red ears.
Oh, really?
Right. So that's my take on that. Hey, our number here is 1-888-441-9876. And it's a little bit of Canine Chaos Day. I love the name. It's a great location. They're right in Newington, across from Newark's, which I'll be going to today.
Oh, nice.
At my birthdays, we always go to
Newark's. Oh, you get your $10 off?
Well, you have to actually show your license to get the $10 off. But yes, I am Jim McFugal, and I show up with my birth certificate. Anyways, we're going to come back. I want to talk a little bit about ticks and flea prevention because we are in that time, and I just pulled a tick off my dog this morning. So our number is 1-888-441-9876, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Great Pets Radio. This is Dr. Jim with Ann Nichols. We are talking dogs and cats and behavior. It is springtime. I pulled ticks off my dog today. For those people who have not started their flea and tick control, it is time to do so. One of the things that we try to avoid is something called Lyme's disease, and we're going to go into it next couple weeks in detail. But the good news is that I just found out, Ann, is that the smaller forms of the tick, not the adult tick, really do not carry Lyme's disease or transmit it as much as we thought. We used to think in the springtime that it was these small little tiny ones that you couldn't see that only have to be on for 24 hours. Now, my recent understanding is it's more the fall ones.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and the fall ticks usually have to be on a good 2 days in order to do that work. And usually at that point you hope that if you're using the front line, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And secondly, you're going to see it and maybe pluck them out.
Mm-hmm. How quickly does frontline kill the tick?
Well, that's, you know, I went to a conference on this and I found out something very interesting. No tick control product, none, works more than 14 days.
Are you kidding?
None. So the question is, well, what do we do now? What's the best way to treat them? The EPA just came out with their stuff on protection of flea and tick control products because dogs are having some issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're ending up at the emergency clinics. A lot of it's just skin issues, but some dogs are dying from it. And it's a lot of the pyrethrin-based products.
Mm-hmm.
As a vet, we like frontline still, myself.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm having people do is I'm having give the frontline on the first of the month, and then you can just do a little spray with the frontline spray on the 15th of the month.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it's working well.
Yeah, I use the spray, too, if I'm going to go into the woods.
Yes.
You know, it works really well.
Now, they make collars for them, which are okay, and you can actually kind of duct tape the collar into underneath their regular collar. The downside to the collar is they only last about 3 months. They don't work as well when they get wet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always a fear, is a dog going to ingest it?
Right.
But in general, I'm still recommending the front line. But they need to attach for 24 hours before they die.
Oh.
You know? So then you'll have products out there that say, well, we're going to repel. They don't really repel. And sometimes they'll repel on us.
Is that the Avantix and Avantix?
Yep, that's repel, another one, right? Which is a good product, but it talks about repelling them. So
yeah, I don't like the live ticks in my house.
No live ticks. No. I love dogs. I don't want limes.
Exactly.
But anyways, so that's one of the things. So get into that. It's that time of year. There are some holistic approaches to it. There's a new one out. It's got like tea tree oil, cinnamon oil. It smells like a Christmas tree, but it does have some efficacy, and we actually carry that now in our clinic. So think about that. We are there. I'm telling you, it's going to be a bad winter. You know why? We got a blanket of snow in December. So all those ticks were insulated. And now that we've gotten a little bit of warm air, bingo, they're out there and they're running around. So
yeah. We're seeing a lot of fleas now.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to wrap up the show. We want to thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Fun show. Lots of good information that I learned as well. We'll pick it up again next week with Brian Kilcommons. And the other thing I just want to say before we leave is that there was a boxer that's missing in Barrington, 87 pounds. If you find this dog named Brandy, the number is 706-0440. Give a call. I don't know if anybody's lost their dog, but it's a very sad thing.
Yeah, it might be a little shy with people, she said.
So give it a shot. See if you can find Brandy and help this family out. Anyways, thank you for joining Great Pets Radio. We're going to do it again next week. Ann Nichols, Canine Chaos.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it again, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
You've been listening to the Great Pets Radio Show. Join Brian and Dr. Jim next Sunday for more informative pet talk.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.